Good evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. This is the weekly Money and Markets. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm delighted you could join me this week. Today is Thursday, March 11th, 2021. On the website, the wrap-ups. I'm getting, it's amazing because all the wrap-ups going to the U.S. from the Netherlands in December. So they got packaged and labeled to be shipped from the Netherlands anywhere from December 14th to 19th. They were then given to a bulk mailer who was supposed to mail them from the Netherlands. And then they disappeared for essentially 3 months. And they're now just arriving. The labels, they were relabeled to go from Hamburg. Then the customs rules changed. And that may have had something to do with them all disappearing. But suddenly, as soon as our second mailing, we finally gave up and sent a complete second mailing to everybody in the United States. As soon as that hit, boom. Miraculously, after only 3 months, the others show up. So many of you are getting two copies, and feel free to circulate the other as you see fit. I hope you enjoy both of them. If you are a print and digital subscriber in Europe, Asia, or Down Under, and you haven't gotten your first copy, please let us know, because we're gonna keep mailing them until you get them. The third quarter Visions of Freedom goes to the printer tomorrow, and then we go to work on the Going Direct Reset, which I'm very eager to get out to you. We'll post the PDF for Visions of Freedom tomorrow. It's a thing of beauty, so I can't wait for you to see it. The Going Direct Reset, the North America shipment will be FedEx to North America and then mail from Tennessee. We're not mailing individual packages from Europe ever again. Take action. The Family Financial Disclosure Form launched this week, both at pandemic.solari.com, as well as there's an intro piece at Children's Health Defense. You can find it at their magazine, Defender. So please, I really encourage you to take a look at that. That is designed to help families who are struggling with whether or not to take the injection, and it's very important. If you have a family member who's insisted upon taking the COVID-19 injection, you really want to make sure they understand the risks of an adverse event or death. Just had another death today, 39. In fact, Norway, Iceland, and Denmark canceled use of the AstraZeneca injection in those countries. So we're seeing a significant number of deaths and adverse events, but there's a good table that describes them and gives lots of examples in the Family Financial Disclosure Form, as well as links to the insert. The form is designed to make sure that a adverse event or death in the family from a COVID-19 injection does not translate into bankruptcy of the whole family. And so this is a way of grappling with the healthcare issues, with the financial issues of a disability or a death, and making sure the insurance and other practical issues have been thought out. I want to remind everybody, I said this for the last 2 weeks, but there is a new FDA and UAA authorized saliva test. You can find it at vaulthealth.com/COVID. The link is in the notes. And then several people asked me for the link for Dr. Levy's book. That's up in last week's Money and Market. It's the book title is Rapid Virus Recovery, No Need to Live in Fear. If you do a search by Thomas Levy, if you do a search for those names, you'll find it. Anyway, but it's also in last week's Money and Market, and I'll ask them to put it in this week's as well. The Take Action Crowdfund this quarter, we're trying to raise money for Farm-to-Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Pete Kennedy has done an interview of the president of the Farm-to-Consumer Legal Defense Fund, and I hope to publish that sometime next week. We are now only taking checks for the Take Action Crowdfund, but you can also donate directly to Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Their website is farmtoconsumer.org/donate is where you donate. And of course, if you come into solari.com and click to the Take Action, it'll show you how to donate money to us by mailing a check to P.O. Box 157, Hickory Valley, Tennessee 38042, or just going to their website and donating directly. And I keep saying, what's the point of having assets if you don't have an army? And if there's anything we need to do, it's to protect the fresh food supply. The move for central control is moving very, very fast. We see announcement today, one subscriber just sent it to me, that VST Enterprise signed a deal for 50 million digital health passports in 15 countries. As more and more information comes out about the COVID-19 injections, the question is, what are these really for? Because one of the things they're not for is dealing with COVID-19. The Pfizer CEO this last week canceled a trip to Israel. They were insisting that he take an injection. And since he wouldn't take his own Pfizer COVID-19 injection, he had to cancel the trip. It tells you everything you need to know. One subscriber wanted to point out to me again a great email sent out by Zach Bush earlier, actually in June, that the U.S. was bringing on the capacity to produce 330 million pre-filled syringes every single month. Now, one of the things the Pfizer CEO also said this week is, oh, it turns out not only do you have to have two injections, but now you have to have one a year to keep it refreshed. I told you, they're trying to put an operating system in your body. One of the sort of must-reads this week is a follow-up to Battle for Humanity, the COVID-19 injection. The link is in Money and Markets. I strongly recommend, if you don't think it's an operating system, just dive into the real material. Moderna and some of the injection makers have been very forthright. Our theme this week is Things Fall Apart, The Center Cannot Hold, More Anarchy is Loosed Upon the World. That's William Butler Yeats's poem. It was written about the coming into World War II, but I think it describes the extent to which we're seeing a significant alteration in the governance of the U.S. military and central bank, and anarchy really is loosed upon the world. Again, all reports are total return for 2021 year to date, and I'm working with Wednesday close. U.S. dollar index up 2.15% for the year. Again, it's holding that 90 line. TLT, real trouble in the treasury market and in the repo market. TLT off 11.02%. That's the long treasury ETF. The intermediate off 4.21%. There was a terrible squeeze in the intermediate market over the last week or two, and in the repo market. Big, big shorts. And I talked a little bit about it and asked Catherine. JP Morgan issues a stark warning about U.S. Treasury auctions. Supply has become difficult to absorb. What that's about is skyrocketing debt and deficit. Ms. Shedlock had an article about it on thestreet.com. I put some of the notes here in the show notes. Let me just read some of this. Debt will double the size of the economy by 2051. CBO estimates that the federal debt held by the public will double the size of the economy, rising from 79% of GDP at the end of 2019 and 100% of the GDP at the end of fiscal 2020 to 202% of GDP by 2051. Projected debt in 2051 will be over 4.5 times the 50-year average of 44% of GDP. Anytime you have debt that high, you're talking about enormous central control. Consumer debt is skyrocketing as well. The rich are doing very, very well during the pandemic, but needless to say, the poor are borrowing more. Let me just give you one point from the article. Social Security CBO, that's the Congressional Budget Office, also projects that four major trust funds will be insolvent in the next 14 years. The Highway Trust Fund would become insolvent in 2022. The Medicare Hospital Insurance Trust Fund would run out in 2026. And the Social Security Old Age and Survivors Insurance and Disability Insurance Trust Funds would run out in 2032 and 2035, respectively. The hypothetical combined Social Security Trust Fund would run out in 2032, at which point benefits would have to be cut by one quarter to bring spending in line with revenue. If you think what I just read is unconnected to the extraordinary deaths in the nursing homes after taking the injection, then you're not thinking about how the world really works. The bond aggregate off 2.85%, so down 2.85, and junk almost flat, it's down 24 basis points. So we're seeing a lot of red ink on the bonds, reversing what the performance was last year so far to date. S&P up 4.2%, the Home builders up 14.3%, still a shortage on home, and plenty of money trying to leave that $400 trillion in fiat-denominated financial assets looking for real assets. VGK, the European ETF, up 4.75%, Germany up 4.09%. Developed markets minus North America up 3.74%. China has backed down the large caps almost 3%, 2.89%. Emerging markets up 3.14%. The commodities index up 14.28%. Gold, oof, down 9.36%. Silver down 1.02%. Oil, of course, flying, depending on the index, up 75 to 100%. Bitcoin now back up to 57,833 was where it was when I checked it right before we started. Stir, you ready for this? From the Financial Times, Beeple Collage smashes digital art record with 69.3 million sale. A first of its kind sale by Christie's underscores mania for non-fungible tokens, single digital image, bank account. Oh, so this is a sale of a digital artwork for $69.3 million at auction at Christie's. You decide whether it's proof inflation or it's just money laundering. It's one hell of a way to pay a kickback. The one subscriber sent me a note and said, money laundering, question mark. I wrote back and I said, bank accounts and passwords hidden in the digital image, question mark. So clearly something going on there. Okay, so let's dive into the stories. Globally, the going direct reset is going dramatically. And it's getting pretty easy for a lot of people to figure out whatever this is about. It has nothing to do with the magic virus. Let me just read you a back and forth on CNN this week. CNN, John Berman asked Fauci, what's the science behind not saying it's safe for people who have been vaccinated, receive two doses to travel? So Fauci answers, when you don't have the data and you don't have the actual evidence, you've got to make a judgment call. Fauci replied, declaring that Americans will just have to trust the CDC. Voila. Anyway, so of course, what people are asking is what is the injection for? I'm very clear. I think the COVID-19 injection is designed to install an operating system in the human body. And again, I would really read this article, the COVID-19 injection, which is a follow-up to the Battle of Humanity. I'd read them both. They're by David O'Hagan, and they're quite good. The nursing home reports from both Europe and the United States are absolutely terrifying, and I absolutely believe it's genocide. The important thing to understand about a system is if something goes wrong and it doesn't correct, it's because the system is going where the system wants to go. And if you look at the reports of the deaths coming out of the nursing homes after the injection, you know, it's four or five times, six times as many deaths as was happening with COVID-19 or anything. So we're talking about genocide here. I talked a lot about this last week, about the national security umbrella and control of the nuclear arsenal becoming fluid. And that's after the federal credit mechanism became very fluid with all the disappearing money and FASB 56. But we're literally watching, I fear, a privatization of the military and financial controls. The U.S. government, and that's all part of migrating, it looks to me like, to a global reserve currency. I think the speed to get the whatever is in the injections into human bodies, whether it's you're trying to depopulate or just assert control or to hook them up to a new financial system, these guys are in an incredible rush, and the push and the intensity of the push is really, really on. And all I can tell you is if there was ever a time to push back, now is it. When you look at the U.S., the question is going to be, what does $30 trillion in debt mean? And to me, what it looks like is a cut and run. The president just signed the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, which passed this week. And it gets back to what I said about the theme, the anarchy is loosed upon the world. The U.S. finances are out of control. They've been out of control with the bailouts and the, you know, 50 plus trillion of missing money. But now it's really accelerating and we're in la-la land. So again, more and more, it does look like a cut and run. And, you know, if I was the person who'd sucked $50+ trillion out of the U.S. government, you know, I would be looking to move control of the financial flows and the military elsewhere. An interesting thing is going on in New York, which I haven't been able to figure out. Cuomo started to be in real trouble for the nursing home deaths engineered in New York, which were very helpful to getting COVID-19 going and putting the Democrats back in the White House. The Republicans are working on an impeachment in the legislature over the nursing home deaths. Clearly, the Democrats don't want to talk about the nursing home deaths. You know, how many Americans would you kill to win an election? That's the joke that's going to start going around. They don't want to discuss that. And so instead, what you've seen is suddenly one woman after another, parade of women coming out with sexual harassment allegations suddenly against Cuomo. You know, we've watched them engineer this many times before. It's hard to believe they can do it. Interestingly enough, we've seen many headlines today, 59 Democrats plus de Blasio, the mayor of New York, call for Cuomo's resignation. The reason that's such an interesting story is the number 59 is the number constantly thrown around for many years about the money missing from HUD. The first year money went missing, there were $59 billion of undocumentable adjustments. And there were several articles with headlines, $59 billion, $59 billion. So I find it very interesting that they keep highlighting 59 Democrats plus de Blasio call for resignation. Biden was very much involved as the head of the Judiciary Committee in building the private prison industry. He's just signed an executive order to reverse the government hiring and using private prison facilities. Cuomo was very much a part of getting that whole private prison military industrial complex going. Biden, Gore, and Cuomo helping Gore were, you know, some of the key players there. And given that Biden is trying to distance himself from that policy, it would be interesting as to whether or not between the nursing homes and the private prisons, it's another reason why Biden and the Biden administration would want to put distance between themselves and Cuomo. Last April, I don't know if you remember, the polls were saying that Cuomo should replace Biden as the nominee. So it could just be pure politics. I don't think the Democrats can afford a hard look at the nursing home genocides in New York, given what is now happening with the nursing homes with the vaccination. So it could certainly have something to do with the sensitivity about what the injections are doing to people in nursing homes and the skyrocketing death rates after the injections go in. Europe, as I said last week, China is now the number one trading partner. Big EU deal with China and sensitivity on that. You'll see those sensitivities in Australia and down under. And now we see them in Europe. It's going to be happening all over the world. This is very big. One subscriber reports that the Canton Zug in Switzerland is now accepting crypto for taxes, both Bitcoin and Ether. That is very big. We've also seen we saw a big Norway investment pool put big treasury reserves for a new investment unit in Bitcoin. So once you get corporate treasuries moving in and the government's taking them for taxes, you're going to see crypto move up a whole new level of sort of institutional acceptance in crypto. And again, as this happens, the regulators are going to insert more and more control. So this is absolutely leading to a central bank crypto service. Right now, the cryptos are doing an incredible job of sucking a lot of the money that's being printed and circulated. They're sucking up a lot of money. If it wasn't for crypto, gold would be skyrocketing. China announces with Biden that they're going to meet Biden in Alaska. That's a meeting I would love to hear the real discussion. China is clearly moving throughout Asia to assert a one China policy. They just passed a new Hong Kong election law, which will dilute the proportion of dramatically elected lawmakers in Hong Kong. There's no doubt that China is defying their agreements with the UK, and there's a fair amount of tension. At the same time, Biden is very China-friendly. China's very profitable relationship for the Biden family. So I would love to know what they're really going to talk about in Alaska. Of course, there's one of the most important sensitive points is Taiwan and the continued independence of Taiwan. For Blast from the Past, same as last week, I put up a link to our table press of recent Blasts from the Past. If you're a new subscriber, there's a lot of good pieces that relate to how to function in a world where the uncertainty is skyrocketing, and I recommend it to you. In Let's Go to the Movies, I suggested one of the documentaries on gun ownership, Moulin Levy, and the term is from the stand of the Spartans up against the Persian army, really a critical moment in preserving sort of Western civilization and Western culture. It'd be a very different world if the Persian army had won that siege in the ultimate war with Greece and Athens. If you don't understand the Second Amendment issue, and a lot of people don't, a lot of people have lived in a world where you really didn't need to own a gun. You didn't need to worry that the government was going to seize your assets. You didn't need to worry that basically private corporate interests were going to burn down your town. You didn't need to worry about very significant crime from narcotics trafficking or Mexican cartels moving in. That's changing all across the country. And so whether it's concern about the lawlessness of a government or concern about the lawlessness of organized crime, we're really in a very different situation now. In Tennessee, I live in a county where it's 45 minutes for the sheriff to get there. So I'm responsible for the first 45 minutes, and you better believe that I have weapons. So this is a very important issue. If you want to dive in, there's an old book, but it's very, very good, called Point Blank by a criminologist from Florida, who's been remarkably quiet as this issue has gotten more and more sensitive. But if you don't understand the issue, this is a good introductory documentary, but I would also really recommend Point Blank, because the statistics are compelling that the honest people are much, much safer with gun ownership. Our hero this week is Christy Noem, who did a sensational job at CPAC. John and I talked about it last week. She said COVID-19 did not shut down the economy. The government shut down the economy. She let slip that at one point Fauci had told her she was going to have 10,000 sick people in her hospital. She said at peak it was only 600. And that's, you know, with everybody trying to scare everybody into the hospitals. The thing that most impressed me and John too was she brought up accounting gimmicks. I think that's very, very big. I'll bet you a dollar that's a veiled reference to FASB 56 and the undocumentable adjustments. But accounting gimmicks is the pin that can pop the entire central banking balloon. So it was very interesting to hear her do that. Our interview this evening is on the Second Amendment, the right, the inalienable right to own and bear arms. John Harris is the president of the Tennessee Firearms Association. And the Tennessee Firearms Association and the great job they've done is one of the reasons that I live in Tennessee. I'll never forget, I was in Jackson, Tennessee, many, many years ago, and I saw a presentation from the person in charge of government lobbying for the Tennessee Firearms Association. He gave a presentation, and one of the things he said was that their membership was more than 50% of the voting population, county by county, in every county in Tennessee. And I said, ooh, that's a good sign. And you will see incredibly strong communication and relationships between the citizens in Tennessee and their legislative representatives. And I think with the loss of the Senate by the Republicans, a lot of the holding the line on the Second Amendment will fall to the states. And if you live in the United States, or if you live in a country where you enjoy the ability to own and use firearms, you absolutely want to support the groups that are fighting to protect this. This is absolutely essential. One of my biggest fears, if you look at the effort, for example, in Denmark, when I talked to Mads Palvik, when they tried to pass the mandate on vaccinations earlier this year, One of the things in the bill was the right to bring in foreign troops or mercenaries to enforce the mandate. In fact, I saw a speech of a legislator in Canada saying that that was also in some proposed legislation. Keep a major eye out for that provision, because if there's anything you want to do, it's keep mercenaries and foreign troops from enforcement in your state and area. So hold the line on the right of the local militia in the U.S. Constitution, and hold the line on who and what has the ability to have authority to bring force within any jurisdiction in which you live or hold assets. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, a wonderful conversation with Junius Ricardo Stanton on reversing the divide and conquer. This is a big problem and getting worse. I did an interview with Polly Tommy today, who is the producer of Vaxxed and Vaxxed 2, and she talked about the great divide, the divide between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Another divide and conquer to add to the many. Then we're going to start moving into the first quarter wrap-up. The topic is going to be Take Action, so Take Action 2021. And because our classic piece on this is called Coming Clean, I asked John Rappaport if he could join me on March 25th before we start the wrap-up to do a session on Coming Clean. He said, well, I can't really say I've come clean. I think of myself as kind of a dirty spy. So that's okay, John. Anyway, so then we'll dive in. I'm interviewing Dr. Joseph Farrell, the top 20 stories in the first quarter. I'll be interviewing him on April 3rd, and so it'll publish. That's a Saturday. And so the following Thursday, we'll dive into part one and part two. So we have a lot to talk about. That's going to be a very interesting discussion. Tomorrow, I'm going to record an interview with Daniel List of Dark Journalist. And again, much to talk about. So until next week, John Titus returns. We'll be talking more about the Going Direct reset. Don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in one, please, please start one right away. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.